Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Well, since he already said double dip, I just kind of, as we were worshiping today and what the Lord was doing, I just kind of felt the Lord, and I know you trust me, so I felt the Lord kind of saying, you have two different messages today. And I do this frequently. I go and I speak around the country and around the world, and sometimes in two services, especially in charismatic churches, you just kind of end up with different messages. So did they record both?
Yeah.
Listen to both. Okay. So I am the crazy uncle that gets to come visit every once in a while. My name is Drew Berryessa. I serve in leadership at Living Waters Church in Medford. But my main ministry, I have a ministry called the Living Letter Ministries, and I travel the world and I speak on issues of sexuality and identity and how the Bible and Scripture interacts with that. So, you know, the topic that the church has always been so great at talking about throughout all time in history. That is kind of a joke. I expected a little bit more of a laugh. But that's okay. So this morning as we were worshiping, the Lord was just, obviously he was doing some incredible things in the room for people. And the words that were given, Shaq, thank you so much for what you gave. And it tied in so perfectly with so many things that the Lord has been stirring on my heart and woke me up at like 4 a.m. this morning, telling me and instructing me. But also we have the context of the parent conference that we were doing, and the Lord kind of was putting on my heart some things to speak to parents. But honestly, as this service was starting, there were some things that came up that all kind of conflagrated together. So here's the first thing I want to say to you. Context matters.
Yes. Amen.
It matters so incredibly much. In fact, so often we will read scriptures that without the context to the scripture, we truly don't understand what it's saying or the power of it.
That's so good.
So context is so important. And as we were worshiping this morning and the words that were spoken, not only that we sang, but then the words spoken during worship and then the word given, there's something that I really felt impressed by the Lord of, like, you need to remind them of the context of this. Mm-hmm. Because as we were talking, you know, that idea of God has good plans.
Yes.
How many of you, and please raise your hand, if you think that the plans of God in your life at times have been derailed by the circumstances or the things that have happened to you or the mistakes you've made?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now from my own personal history, because, you know, you don't pick on career day talking about sexuality in the church,
right.
You know, and if you did, that's a real stupid choice. Normally, you end up here because plans in your life have been derailed. Because, you know, I didn't want to talk about homosexuality to the church. That's nothing I would choose to do, except that in my life at 19 years old, I found myself in a gay relationship because of the brokenness in my life. And so understanding what God would have to say about that became extremely important. Now, I need to tell you right now that God never intended for me to be physically abused, emotionally abused, spiritually abused, or sexually abused, but all of those things happen in my life too.
Yeah.
So when someone quotes to me from Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you," I'm like, really?
Right.
When people speak of a sovereign God who's in control, that implies that he meant for that to happen, and that's not a God I want to follow.
Right.
I mean, how many of you, if you were to allow yourself the daring moment to say it, if someone's saying God is in control of all the things that happen in your life, and you look at your life and you go, really?
Yeah.
Is that a God that I want to surrender to?
Wow.
So the context of things matter. And when we understand the context, we can understand that God is above the circumstances in our lives.
Yeah.
And that God is still good even when things are really bad. So we sang not only about, you know, you have good plans for me, but we sang also about being, he's the potter and we're the clay. Do you know that both of those analogies, or the scripture from Jeremiah 29:11 and the potter analogy, which comes from Jeremiah 18, the book of Jeremiah is a very interesting book, and it's important to understand the context.
Good. Good.
Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet.
Yeah.
Because he was prophesying to the nation of Judah, which was the divided kingdom in Israel. You had Israel, and it divided among a time in the history where you had Israel and 10 tribes to the north and Judah and a couple tribes to the south, a broken and divided kingdom. But he was prophesying in a time where the northern kingdom had already been conquered, And the Babylonian Empire was about to conquer Judah and destroy them, where they were no longer going to have any of the sovereignty that they had before. This was a time where if Jeremiah were saying to the nation, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And yet the empire of a paganistic, false god-worshipping ruler were coming to destroy them and occupy them and carry them off into exile. That might seem like a little bit of a left turn, don't you think? So it's important to understand this. It's important to understand that God is speaking this even when the circumstances seem as though there's no hope.
That's good.
How many of you are looking at your circumstances and think, God, what can you do with this? Do you really have hope? Do you really have goodness? Do you really have restoration? Do you really have all of that for me? Or did I ruin it by the mistakes in my life? Or was it stolen by some other circumstance? In Jeremiah 18, when it talks about the potter and the clay, you know, it starts with this analogy that we are, or rather, as it's talking to the nation, you are clay in my hands, the potter. Yeah. And I'm shaping you into a vessel because God had a plan for Israel when he called them, when he picked them out of all the nations and said, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world. Through you, I'm going to bring my Messiah. Through you, I'm going to restore all the brokenness that happened in Genesis 1 at the fall of mankind. Or sorry, Genesis 3 at the fall of mankind. Through this nation, I have great plans. And then through their constant rebellion and constant failure and constant sin and constant idolatry and constantly turning away from God, they marred themselves. The vessel that God was forming them into, they got spoiled and they marred that vessel. And the potter, and in that analogy in the potter and the clay, it says that the clay was spoiled, it was marred, and yet I will refashion you into another vessel.
So
I want to give you this analogy. You know, we talked about in the parenting conference that I said, all of us were made on purpose for purpose. Yeah. Yeah. When God made you, he formed you in the womb, in the secret place. He knit you together. And it's not just your biological self. God was putting together the intricate pieces that would form your personality, your soul, the ways that you would carry some characteristics from your mother and some characteristics from your father and some characteristics just given to you by God to make you unique. He was forming you and fashioning you in your mother's womb before a single moment of your life happened, before any of the sin of this world and the consequences of how people sin against you and the sins you make yourself began to, again, mar that vessel. Mm-hmm. See, for me, I don't know if you can recognize this or not, but I'm a bit dramatic. Just a bit. I'm a bit emotional. I'm a bit intuitive. I'm artistic. I cannot build things. Literally, I don't know what a ruler is for or a tape measure other than, like, you just pull on it and it snaps back. I don't know what it is in me, but I am not inclined in that way, shape, or form. People have tried to help me. It is a fruitless endeavor. It is just, I'm not built for that. How many of you can relate to, like, someone in your life or maybe a family member is just naturally inclined to something, and when you try to do it, it's like a calamity every single time? Just raise your hand if you know. Also, another one, like, I love worship. I can sing really well. I've been a worship leader for 30 years, but for the love of God, I cannot seem to clap on rhythm and sing at the same time, which is really annoying because when I was living in Portland, I was part of a church that was a very, like, interracial church, and our history was part of the civil rights movement, and all of our music was gospel music, and I can sing, but I cannot clap. It's like my body rebels against my soul. You know, it's like, I can't dance. I can't, like, I just, you know, it's not a thing. But God knew when he was making me and forming me what he was making me and forming me for. I think he always knew that I was going to be a communicator and a public speaker. I think he always knew that. From the earliest time in my life, after I received Christ as a 4-year-old kid, I just had this passion and desire for the Word of God, and I wanted to preach. I was a little evangelist in the playground in kindergarten, like 6 years old, on the big toy. I was very sophisticated. I would say to the kids, do you know Jesus? You know? You're going to hell! You know, it was really effective. It's a true story. Like, I really did that. And it was because when I learned about God, I learned about a Father and a Savior and a God that was big and immense. And it made sense to me, and I wanted to serve him. And this was before the disaster of the brokenness of my family blew up and destroyed everything in my life. This was before the deprivation of the needs in my life of love and acceptance and belonging that inevitably turned my heart and twisted it to want to get my needs met in wrong ways. How many can relate to that? It was before the pain in my life that had no remedy got medicated by things that just numbed it. How many can relate to that? And those things marred the clay, but God.
Amen.
But God refashioned it. So I may have always been a pastor or a preacher or a minister. That may have always been in the cards for me. But certainly, like I said, it would not have been to speak on sexuality.
Right.
But my mess became my message. Hallelujah.
Wow.
And my test became my testimony. And yet God will still use and shape us because he knows the plans he has for us.
Amen.
Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Although they might be looking a little different than they might have had some of these things not happen. God will not be thwarted. He will not be muted. He will not. He will not change his mind. God is a good God. And if you need to hear this morning, if you're sitting in a moment in time in your life where you're wondering, where is your good purpose? Where is the redemption for the things that I'm looking at? God, really, I mean, I have maybe no education or I've been broken and I have all this sin in my history and I still have these struggles or addictions or whatever it is. God, can you really? You know what? The word yet is a really important word in the kingdom of God. And so that you understand it, God has given us all of creation, all of nature, all of the world to understand how he works. We sang it this morning, whether in deserts or gardens, you're still good, right?
Yes.
Well, how about we get a little less complicated and just say the seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
We're in spring right now, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But we just got out of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And everything looks dead in winter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we know, because we know the seasons, we've been through it enough times, that winter only lasts as long as winter lasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inevitably, those seeds that are in the ground, that everything that seems dead, will spring back to life.
Wow. Wow.
And we know that spring will come, and inevitably so will summer. And inevitably so will fall, and inevitably so will winter. It goes in a cycle and a rhythm. The scripture speaks to this. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything has a turning. There is a time and a season for everything. If you are in a season where you're looking at your life and it looks dead, it's not dead, it's just winter. It's just winter, and sometimes winters are harsher, sometimes they last longer, and sometimes all of a sudden spring comes for a minute, and then around here we get that fall spring in February. What is that? I've never experienced that. Like, February's sunny and warm, and I'm like, what is going? And then, boom, we get right back to storm and winter. Sometimes it's like that with the Lord, where we'll see something spring up, and then another season hits. And it's a crisis or it's an attack of the enemy, and it feels like the life that's springing up dies.
Wow.
But you know what? Just as sure as the spring will come after winter and the summer will come after spring, if you will follow the Lord and water your faith in the Lord, it will grow again.
That's so good.
You are not more strong than the rhythms that God put in all of creation.
Wow.
Some of you need to hear that again. You are not so strong or so broken or so bad or so undeserving that you can stop the rhythms and the seasons that God has put in all creation. Your addiction is not bigger than the God of the universe. Your sin is not so... you know another thing that bugs me? We get this thing in church where people are like, God cannot be in the presence of sin. Bull crap! Who said that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's a quote from Oswald Chambers, this old crusty old writer from like England. He wrote this book, My Utmost for His Highest, but it's a great devotional, but there's one statement he makes in it. He says, we would be shocked to realize the gutters that God crawls through wow. with us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. To say that God cannot be in the presence of sin is to deny one of the absolutely true attributes of who he is, and that is his omnipresence. He yes. is everywhere. And that's an uncomfortable thing when you realize he's with you when you're on the toilet. But you know what? He's there. He doesn't blush. He doesn't turn away. He made that process. He's like, look at my handiwork. But some of us have to get over this idea that God is not with us. Literally, Emmanuel, God with us. And yes, it was true when he put on flesh and made his dwelling among us, but it's even more true that he said, I have to go so I can send the better thing, which is the helper, the comforter, he is with us. In every moment, in every time, and if you feel like he isn't, it's not that he's not, it's that your sin and the things that you are putting in your life are dulling his voice. That you are not perceiving his presence because your sight and your attention and your worship is on something lesser. He is still there. He is still there. And he is ready to do exactly what he gave his prophet, Jeremiah, to say to the children of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, when they were facing the annihilation of their kingdom and exile, I have good plans for you.
That's right.
Even when everything seems dark, even when the circumstances seem overwhelming, even when winter is at its harshest, spring will still come. Amen. Spring will still come. You need to know that. You need to understand that. Because we are so easily torn away from this belief that God will be faithful to his word. God has always been faithful.
Amen.
God has always, always, always been faithful. If you don't see the result of that yet, is a very important word. And it's not because of his unwillingness, and it's not because of his lack of ability. It is because one other attribute of God, which I love and sometimes hate, he will not force his will in our life. It's this tension of free will in the sovereignty of God. And because I'm just on that topic, I'm going to say it for all of you. We also get it twisted when we say things like, God is in control. The sovereignty of God does not mean he is in control of everything. It means the king has authority over his kingdom. And if one of his subjects acts the fool, he goes and makes it right.
Yeah.
That's why it says in Romans 8:28, he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. It does not say all things are good. But when we submit to him and when we come to him, like the scripture says, where we can run to his presence boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need, he then takes the things that are broken and he refashions them, just like Jeremiah 18 says, the spoiled vessel I reshape. Now, for some of you, you might be wondering, you were supposed to talk about parenting. This is God parenting us. This is exactly God parenting us. And when we understand how God parents us, we get freed up to parent our kids better too. Many of us did not know what it was to have a good parent. I certainly didn't. My good father got completely stolen from me when my parents divorced. I lost him for years. And then when I refound him and reconnected with him, it took years for us to build up trust. And he was broken too, and so he wasn't great all the time, but God was working on his life. Now, as almost a 50-year-old man with a 75-year-old father, I have a great dad, but I didn't. I didn't know how to father anyone, and quite honestly, I didn't ever want to be a parent because I didn't want to break my children like I was broken by my crazy parents. And yet, God parented me. And he taught me how to love my kids like he loves me. He taught me how to take moments where my kids misbehave and reshape the vessel. So if any of you here today are wondering, God, what can you do with my life? What can you do with the choices of my life? There's still consequences in my life of the sins that I've committed or the sins committed against me. Yeah, because the blood of Jesus gives us forgiveness from sin and cleansing from all unrighteousness. But unfortunately, it does not give us a new history or amnesia. And sometimes when we sow things into our flesh and our spirit that are wrong, well, those seeds will sprout up. But just like was said, this church hates weeds.
Amen.
And we will get the blowtorch of his refining fire to burn those weeds out of the ground or root them up. And honestly, when you see things come up in your life, when you're diligently following God and a sin pops up or a response pops up, instead of feeling ashamed of it,
come on.
Instead of feeling ashamed of it, recognize it's just a weed. And God is giving you the opportunity to come with him to the garden of your soul and rip that weed up.
Yes.
Till that soil again. Get out the blowtorch if needed, because we all know there are seasons when God blingy God. You know, there's something to that. You know, those high priests had lots of jewels on them. God bling. God sometimes brings the blowtorch in our life. How many of you can say amen to that? Oh, some of you who did not say amen to that, it's just not your time yet. You'll need some of us who've been through that when you get there. You're like, where is God? He's in the fire. We gonna name you Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, but he in the fire.
And it's beautiful.
And it's beautiful. And you will come out of that fire, and you'll be able to testify for the fact that he was with you. And that he refined you and he refined the season. I'm telling you this, if we are the people of God, if we are the ones called by his name, if he is our God, we should be people of hope no matter what. We should be the people that know that no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter what the heck is going on in this world, God is still on the throne. And God will make everything bow down to serve his purposes. We should not be people of fear. We should not be people of despair.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we won't be afraid sometimes, and it doesn't mean we won't have sadness or depression or any of that. We still live in a fallen world. But when we are experiencing that, we don't take it as our identity and we don't take it as our destiny. We recognize it just might be winter, but spring is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, that was a whole different message than I thought I was going to preach this morning. And I'm landing pretty close to on time. But here's the thing that I want to also do. No matter if it's... Okay, let me put it this way. If you, at one point in your walk with the Lord, felt like God had given you a calling, a vision for your life. And you're looking at your life right now and you're like, God, how? How could that ever happen?
Wow.
Would you be so bold as to stand? Right, why don't you just come on down? If you are someone that you've heard a lot about Jesus and you've heard a lot about this Christianity thing, but you have not actually made Christ your Lord. And I'm not talking about repeating a prayer. Anyone can say words. I'm talking about placing your faith in a God who is bigger than anyone or anything else. Trusting in the hands of a redemptive God that can take every broken thing and refashion it to something new. If you are someone who has not ever done that, but are feeling like, you know what? Screw it, I'm ready to do it. Also make your way down here.
Come on.
And that's okay. That might not even be something that you're ready to do, but if so, please, don't miss this opportunity. Not because God won't give you another one. I'm not one of those preachers. God will pursue you every day until you submit.
Come on.
He is just that relentless. All I'm saying is, why not today? And why not now? So I want to pray for each of you here. Father, I know that there's no way to know each one of the visions and the hopes and the dreams that are on the hearts of each of these people, but I know you do. I know that you have written every day of their life in your book. I know that you know every hair on their head and how many hairs aren't on their head anymore. I know that you know and have collected every one of their tears in a jar. I know that not a thing happens to them that you are not mindful and attentive. As David cried out in the Psalms, "Who am I, God, that you are mindful of me?" And yet you are. So, Father, I don't know what it was that you put on their hearts or the plan you originally had or the specific details of it, but what I do know is you do not change your mind about your children. That when you made us on purpose for purpose. And although that purpose might have a little bit different color or texture to it, the purpose and the substance of that purpose remains. So, Father, right now I pray for my brothers and sisters here that have been so bold and so honest to come forward. Father, maybe the clay has been spoiled. Maybe something happened or they did something or in the constellation that is life up till this point, things just went haywire. But you, O Potter, you are maker and the one who promised that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Father, I pray right now for refashioning of the vessel. Where there has been vision in the past, give new vision. New vision that still holds on to the very things that you established and purposed from the beginning. From the way that you made them and formed them in their mother's womb. The purposes and the plans, the giftings, the talents, the personalities, all of it that go into that vision. Father God, take that moment, take that vision, and if it's an obstacle in the way, bring the fire and obliterate it. If it is a belief that's holding them back, Lord, change their mind. Lord, if it is a consequence of sin in the past, Lord, do what you said you do in Isaiah 61. Take our former shame and give a double portion of honor and grace. So, Father God, right now, whatever it is that has been purposed by the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Father God, come as the great Redeemer and our King of Glory, and refashion it, Father. Revision it, Father. Repurpose it and enliven your children with joy, with purpose, with hope to pursue the very things that you have laid on their hearts to do. Father, you are a good and faithful God. You are wonderful in your ways. You are faithful to the end. You are bigger than our mistakes, and you are true to your word. So, Father, for each one of my brothers and sisters here today, will you pour new vision, restore things lost, refashion the vessel, burn out the weeds, and prove your word to them, you have good plans. And all your children said together, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.